One of the singular, most critical issues for the church is the issue of unity. This is how you achieve that. You raise up spiritual leaders who understand what it means to speak boldly the truth of God. And you prostrate yourself in the presence of God, calling on His name, focusing on Jesus Christ, and He grants to you one heart and one mind. Doesn't take much in America to understand the meaning of dysfunctional disunity. There are hundreds of churches across America that are so disunified. Here's the key. This is it. Focusing in on the sovereignty of God and the Word of God and the divine purpose of God and the intervention of God and the outstretched hand that produce the miracles of God. It will always bear witness to the powerful response from God. Always. The Encouraging
Word. Welcome to The Encouraging Word, featuring the Bible-based preaching of Dr. Don Wilton. You heard his wonderful South African brogue seconds ago, and he has so much more to share with insight today from his message, God's Vision. As we discover clarity in God's vision for each of our lives, both corporately as a body of Christ, but more importantly, individually, God is ready to empower us to not only see the vision, but to realize it. If you'd like to have someone praying with you and for you in the middle of all that, we're here to do that. We'd love to pray with you. You can call us at 866-899-WORD. That's 866-899-9673. Or meet us online, keyboard to keyboard, at theencouragingword.org. Now here's Dr. Don Wilton. The Encouraging
Word. God told the prophet Habakkuk that he had to do three things. These are the three things that Habakkuk had to do that I think we need to do. Number one, we have to be willing to receive God's vision. If we're going to ask those two questions, what is it that God wants for us and what is it that God requires through us, first thing we've got to do is we have to be willing to receive God's vision. That's what verse 1 is all about. I will take my stand at my watchpost. I will station myself on the tower. I will look out and see, and what I will answer concerning my complaint. I have to be willing to receive whatever it is that God, who loves me and who has a perfect plan and purpose for me, requires of me and will use through me. I've got to be willing to receive that vision, which means, number one, that we have to have the right position before God. That's what he's saying there. I will take my stand at my watchpost and station myself at the watchtower. This speaks to the movement of the body. It means a practical movement of the body. Habakkuk understood that. I'm calling upon every believer in the United States of America to adopt the right position before God. You and I have to practically, and we have to in every way, be willing to position ourselves before God. You've got to be willing to move your body and get yourself in position. That's a very practical thing. God is not going to speak to us if we do not position ourselves physically. I congratulate you today, and I commend you today for being in the right position. There are hundreds of thousands of believers today who never gave a single thought to putting themselves in a position to hear God's vision. That takes discipline. Just even going to church takes discipline. Habakkuk made it very clear. Number two, not only must we have the right position before God, but we must have the right posture before God. Here's what he said, and look out to see what he will say. If the right position has to do with the movement of the body, the right posture has to do with the engagement of the mind. You know what he said? He said, I'm actually going to stand in the watchtower and I'm going to actually open my eyes. There are many, many men and women who have served in the military all around the world, and most of you will bear testimony to the fact when a perimeter is established and you're in a dangerous position and the enemy is lurking out there and everybody has to sleep and any kind of military platoon or company will select those through the means of authority who are going to stand in the watchtower. And you establish a perimeter. And you take those four or five men, and they are fully armed and they are equipped, and their job is to stay awake and to stand in the watchtower while the rest of the company gets some well-earned rest. And what good is it if the perimeter doesn't open their eyes? How many a man on guard duty has dozed off, resulting in the death of those he was intended to protect? That's what he's talking about. We must be willing to receive God's vision. How do you do that? You've got to have the right position. It means you've got to move your body. You've got to get in the watchtower. But it also means you've got to have the right posture, which means you've got to engage your mind. You've got to look out and see, but it also means you've got to have the right preparation. That's what he was saying here. I will answer concerning my complaint. What this speaks to is not just simply the movement of the body or the engagement of the mind, but of the willingness of the heart. So what God is saying to me is very simple. I'm looking at him and saying to him, Lord, I'm a father and I'm a grandfather and I'm a husband and I'm a friend and I'm a pastor and I'm a team player and I'm a citizen and I'm a member of my community and I want to make a difference for Christ. And what he's saying to me is, listen, you need to be willing to receive God's vision, and you will never receive God's vision if you don't have the right position and the right posture and the right preparation. If you're not willing to move your body, if you're not willing to engage your mind, and if you're not willing to have an open heart, you must be willing to receive God's vision. Remember, this is not about asking God, what exactly is it that we must do? This is not focusing on solving this problem. It's focusing on the only one who can solve the problem. We've taken our eyes off the Lord. So number one, we must be willing to receive God's vision. Number two, we must be willing to declare God's vision. You know, verse 2 is very interesting. It's a powerful verse. This matter of the declaration of God's vision, speaking it out. I'm calling upon the leaders of our church to stand up and speak out. I'm calling on Christians, believers, across this beloved nation that we love so much, this nation that we have so much passion for, and rightfully so. This is the greatest nation ever. I'm calling upon those who call upon the name of the Lord Jesus not only to be willing to receive God's vision, but I'm calling upon believers in the United States of America to be willing to declare God's vision. And the prophet Habakkuk tells us the three components of the declaration of God's vision. We have to visualize it, we have to clarify it, and we've got to objectify it. Look what he says here in verse 2. He says, if you're going to be willing to declare God's vision, the first thing you've got to do is you've got to visualize it. That's what he says. He says, write the vision. By the way, I want to make a recommendation to everybody here today. Write it down. Get into the habit of writing things down. Start the new year with a little booklet of some kind or computer, whatever it is. You know, on my telephone, I have this little thing called a notepad. Some of you might have heard it. And I try to discipline. I fill that thing up because I hear something or God speaks to me and I go to my notepad and then I push a little thingamajig that says new and I push new and then I write a little title there and then I put down some of my notes so that I don't forget it. If you don't write it, chances are you're going to forget it, which explains why so many of us keep forgetting it. Do you know what ideas do? They just float around. Ideas can go just like that. Can I say this very lovingly? Some, it's a very few, it's only one or two people listening to me today. Some of you, all you're doing is you're just sitting here and you're listening. I promise you, the moment you walk out the door, it's gone. Someone might come up to you on Wednesday and say, you know, I heard that pastor of yours preach a message. What did he speak about? What was that? Sweet honey, what was that he said? I don't know, but it was good. Or at least I hope you'd say it was good. Right? I mean, isn't that you and me? We're all like that. That's my big problem, you know. Write it down. Visualize it. Number two, clarify it. Make it plain. Clarify it. That's what he says. Make it plain on tablets. There's no need to write down a novel. Make it plain. Speak straight. I love to be around people who say A, B, C, and D. That is a basic pedagogical principle of operation. That's how we teach our generations to rise up and to make a difference in this world. We spell it out for them. That's what teachers and mothers do with their little ones. That's what he's talking about. We must not only be willing to receive God's vision, we've got to be willing to declare God's vision. And you will never declare anything that you have not visualized very carefully, that you have not clarified. Work on it. Spend time on it. Need it. Pray about it. Give yourself to prayer and fasting. Clarify it. And number three, objectify it.
Forgive the interruption. We'll be back with more of today's message, Finding God's Vision, with Dr. Don Wilton in just a moment here on The Encouraging Word. Matter of fact, that concept of objectifying it, Dr. Don will expand on that in just a moment. But Dr. Wilton insists I interrupt so that you know that we're here for you. We'd love to not just present these great messages to you and whatever way you're listening, whether it's a podcast or online or wherever you might be hearing this on the radio, just know that we're here just to continue the conversation. Perhaps the Lord has stirred your heart about something in finding God's vision in today's message, and you'd like to speak with someone, to pray with someone about that. Well, we're here. We'd love to take your call, not just now during the broadcast, but anytime, day or night, at 866-899-WORD. That's 866-899-9673. My suggestion is jot it down or put it in your cell. Let us be your contact of The Encouraging Word, 866-899-9673. We'd love to connect with you, pray for you, and connect you with great resources that will help you grow in your faith. And speaking of growth, right now there is tremendous growth in the world of social media, and we're very involved in lifting up the name of Jesus during that. Here's Dr. Don with some more insight.
In America today, more and more people are starving for the good news of the gospel. Can you for just a moment imagine this world without the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ? Can you imagine this country without the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ? We as a nation must bring back the values and the core principles that we were founded on. That is where we need your help. I'm asking you to help The Encouraging Word plant more seeds in this barren soil that is our America by simply following and sharing encouraging words shared on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. Friends, you never know how one encouraging message could change the life of someone who may desperately need it. The book of James tells us to be doers of the word and not hearers only. And I believe that for too long, we've heard without action. Thank you for your support for our social media platforms in sharing truth with the searching world.
It truly is exciting to see how God's using the encouraging word. And if you're involved in social media, let's connect. Look for us on Facebook, on Twitter, on Instagram. All of those elements of connection, both with us as a ministry and with Dr. Don individually, are on our website, theencouragingword.org. That's theencouragingword.org, a place not to only connect with the socials, but also to hear this message and many, many more from Dr. Wilton and discover resources that will help you grow in your faith. Now back to the conclusion of today's message, Finding God's Vision with Dr. Don Wilton.
Objectify it. That means to apply it. Look at that last part of the verse. So that he may run who reads it. What is the object of the declaration of God's vision? Is to provide the person who needs to run the ability to be able to run with it. Otherwise, you're going to just be limited to sometimes I sits and thinks and other times I just sits. If we don't spring into action as believers this time next year, we'll be just sitting again, shaking our heads, becoming more silent. We got to objectify it. God is not a God of stagnation. He's the God of action. God is not an abstract notion riding by on a cloud with a proverbial pipe in his mouth as a benevolent grandfather to the people. He's the God of action. He's the God of the ages. He's the God of our fathers, the God of Abraham, and the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. He is sovereign. He is powerful. He's majestic. And he's got a very, very special plan. And God is engaged in this world, and he's in control, and he will never let us down. Here's Habakkuk faced by this terrible plight that's about to come down upon them, searching for answers just like you and me. God gives him three things to do. Number one, he has to be willing to receive God's vision. It's amazing how many people have got so much to say about the church who never show up. We have to be willing to declare God's vision. It's amazing how many people make basic presuppositions and declarations concerning God when a tornado comes through their alley. But they've never been willing to declare God's vision in the context of having visualized it and clarified it and objectified, applied it in our daily life. God is speaking to us. We got work to do. But there's a third thing, and I'll close with it. We have to be willing to trust God's vision. If we have to be willing to receive God's vision and to declare God's vision, Habakkuk let us know we have to be willing to trust God's vision. I love that part. Now, it's the most difficult one because it requires faith. And you know, Habakkuk reminds us of the three components of trusting God's vision. Number one, God's timing is perfect. If you trust God's vision, you've got to accept that God's timing is perfect. That's what he says right here in verse 3. For still the vision awaits its appointed time. Now, folks, I will just tell you that's a tough one for me because I like my coffee strong and I like it right now. I'm begging our church to make stronger coffee. And I want it right now. You know, that speaks to all of our, that's our problem when it comes to God. We believe in a click your finger God. Habakkuk reminds us that God's timing is perfect. That's a discipline. In other words, he's planned everything. He's got a perfect purpose. But God's truth is absolute. That's the second truth. God's truth is absolute. Look what he says here. He says, it hastens to the end, it will not lie. May I just say something to you? God's truth is absolute. God's plan for you and for me in this next year is absolutely truthful. It's the best place for us to be, my friends, isn't it? Best place for you to be. It's the best place for me to be. His timing is perfect. His truth is absolute. because he's the source of all truth. God cannot lie. And he loves you and he loves me. He really loves you. He's got a perfect plan for you and a perfect plan for me. God's going to take care of business. Some of you today, you're struggling, and I understand that. Man, I've lost some precious friends this holiday season. You and I. This morning at 3 o'clock, Matt McKenzie died, 45 years of age. Two beautiful daughters. 3 o'clock this morning. You know, people face things all different ways, you know. Where do we go but to the Lord? We have to be willing to trust God's vision. His timing is perfect, His truth is absolute, and God's tomorrow is exciting. But the righteous shall live by His faith. He says in the second part of verse 3, he says, "For surely it will come." It will not delay. It's going to happen. Because God is sovereign. If you believe in the sovereignty of God in all things, you have to rest your case in Him. Because He is sovereign. He knows. And when you put in the extraordinary love of God into that, so what is God saying to the prophet Habakkuk? He's saying, stand and see. Lord, what do I do about my life? Lord, what about the stock market? What about my retirement? What about my children? What about my physical issue that I'm facing? What about my marriage? Lord, what about my city? What about that conflict in the boardroom? What about that conflict among that group of people? What about that attack that I'm under? What about that unkind word that's being said? What about the economy? What about interest rates? What about this? What about that? What about this? What about the country? What about the morality in our nation? What about just sin? What about all the conflict in the streets? What about all the problems that people have? What about our world? What about ISIS? What about the conflict in Ukraine? What about Syria? What about the rise of militant Islamic movements? What about beheadings? Stand and see. And when Habakkuk presented this, we see God's prophet so perplexed, a perplexed prophet, but we see him standing looking up into the face of the God of the universe. When we study Habakkuk, we realize that our world faces great, great challenges. But then we look into the face of our Savior and we recognize that our church faces great opportunities. I will declare to you, church, that the moment we start looking inwardly at ourselves is when God will start taking His hand off us. When we look up into the face of our sovereign God, holy and righteous, and when we fall upon our faces in prayer and fasting and praise and thanksgiving, and I'm going to ask all of us to get into the watchtower, and I'm going to teach us what it is that God requires of us. And I believe that when we as a people come before the Lord in humility and we seek His face, I think all of a sudden we're going to be able to answer those two questions. Number one, what is it that God wants for us? And number two, what is it that God requires through us? When God is in control, if God before us, who do you suppose can be against us? Who do we need in America today, folks? Would you bow your heads with me for just a moment? Heavenly Father, none of us have any answers, and yet You're speaking, and our eyes are upon You. How much we love You today. How much I thank you for a church like this, so willing to seek your face. They've done this for generations. No wonder, Lord, you have blessed this congregation. Father, our only question we would ask is, Lord, what would you do through us? We are yours. We surrender, we bow, we place ourselves before you, presenting to you every need of our hearts and waiting upon you to show us the way. In Jesus' name we pray together. Amen.
As Dr. Don has been praying, perhaps you in your heart have been praying as well, opening yourself to the reality that, change needs to take place. You know, at different stages of our lives, we understand the importance of continually growing in our faith. But it has to start with the first step of saying yes to Jesus. Have you done that? If not, you can do it today with a simple prayer. Matter of fact, I'll lead you in the prayer to just come to God and say, Lord God, I realize I'm a sinner. We're all sinners, and my sin has separated me from you. But today, Lord, I confess that I can't get over this on my own. I need you, and I realize you are the Son of God, and you died for my sins on the cross of Calvary. I accept you as Savior and Lord. Change me from the inside out. Amen. Perhaps you've repeated those very words with me, or your heart is crying out in the very same sense. As Dr. Don would say, it's not about the words that save you. It's about the attitude of the heart to say yes to Jesus as Savior and Lord. If you've done that today, let us walk alongside you in the next steps of growing closer to God, of finding a church home. All of that we would love to be a part of. Whether you want to connect with us keyboard to keyboard on our website, theencouragingword.org. That's theencouragingword.org. Or give us a call. We'd love to speak with you, pray with you, put great free resources in your hands as you've made this new decision for Christ. It's 866-899-WORD. 866-899-9673. Not just now during the broadcast, but 24 hours a day. We would love to hear from you.
Hello, my friends. I want to personally speak to you for just a moment today from my heart to yours. You know, when I think about all the resources and offers that we provide here at the Encouraging Word, I'm reminded of the awesome responsibility to ensure information is not only biblically sound, but that we have the availability of resources for the future concerning the huge needs that are out there. Now, whether the resources are books, DVDs, CDs, the Daily Encouraging Word, Bible Guide, or the Bible itself, I am committed by the grace of God to ensure it. I believe that if we stand together, we can accomplish much for Him. So I just want to say to you that to know that you are standing with me financially enables me to move forward with confidence and to do the work that God has called me to do. Please call the number provided at the end of today's broadcast and request this resource.
Now, tomorrow, on the Wednesday edition of The Encouraging Word, Willing Servitude is Dr. Don's message, and I hope you'll join us then. But until then, stay connected online at theencouragingword.org.